Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we want to say first off is thank you, Comedy Store, for letting us record here down in the basement at the podcast studio. And also, these are our views, our stories, and have nothing to do with the Comedy Store. So if you're offended, come bitch at us and not the Comedy Store. And by the way, we have such amazing guests today, and
we do.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. This is a lovely lady over here, very funny lady over here. You've seen her on Colbert. Please give it up for Ms. Heather Pasternak.
Hello. Yay. I like the please give it up. Why aren't you all clapping? It was such a
funny and pushy.
That's right.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And over to my left.
Yeah, let's get to me.
I'm ready to clap.
This gentleman, he is a comedian. He works here at the Comedy Store. He's a door guy. He is a husband. He is a lover. He is a giver.
Drug dealer.
He headlines all over California.
You were doing good.
You're reaching there, Jessica. Let's go.
He's got a great butt. There's a sketch to prove that. Put your hands together for Stephen Garza.
Yay.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Welcome to the Stephen.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Oh, anytime, anytime. And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy friends come on, and we ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth and one is a lie. And then we try to figure out which one is the lie. And as you're telling the story, know that we will be asking questions if we're not understanding the story completely, just to clarify what's going on. Jessica over here is very aggressive. Don't let it throw you. Because our job is to poke holes in your story, and your job is to trick us on
I'm
which
nervous.
One is a lie. Don't be nervous.
Okay.
All right. But since you're nervous, I think you should go first.
Okay. All right.
Wait, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Can I also grill her or no?
Yes, you may play along. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
be good
at
this.
We have to try to... guess each other's.
You
brought a pen.
I'm gonna take notes.
You're taking notes.
Jesus. You're better than a producer.
Husband and type A.
So I have stories about coincidence.
Okay.
So my first story is, I think it was, I must have been like in eighth or ninth grade, and I had a friend who was a year older than me, and we were new friends, and I thought she was cool because we were older, or she was older, and like she had her learner's permit.
Uh-huh.
And at first, her mom really liked me. She thought I was like a great influence. But then one time we went and took her mom's car when she only had a learner's permit, and she wanted to like drive to the mall. And it was like really dangerous and really stupid. I mean, she wasn't good at changing lanes. We probably almost died, but like, you know, when you're that age, you're just like living for the thrill.
Oh yeah,
like,
I've done that.
It was the most
times.
Exciting thing we could do.
Yeah.
And her mom had this Lexus, and I remember we got back.
Ooh.
And oh, and her mom also liked me because she was dating an older guy, and so she was like wanting her daughter to have like more nice influences or something like that.
What made her think that you were a nice influence?
I think I just look nice. Like even when
you
I came in today and you told me we like to have some clean stories on the show as if I would be the one to bring them. Like I'm actually not as nice as I look, but I was a Girl Scout till I was 15. So like it's confusing. It's confusing.
Wow. Till you were 15?
Yes.
How long were you a Girl Scout?
And then I like immediately lost my virginity. I was like, I'm out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
My mom was a troop leader. It's a nightmare.
Okay.
So we were friends. Her mom liked me at first, but then we took this car out, and it was so one of those things where like we could have died 300 times, but we like didn't smash the car until we were back home trying to park it in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You know, and she was like trying to back in, but it was like a tight spot, and she ended up like basically massaging the side of her mom's Lexus against the garage.
So scraping.
It was bad. It was like really, it was a lot, and it was like she kept pulling out and
trying
and making it worse.
Why did you choose the word massage?
Yeah.
That's
that
weird.
That is a gentle word.
Yeah.
It is weird. I guess just because it felt like it was rubbing. It wasn't just like one...
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it definitely wasn't as gentle as massage.
Was it like...
Yeah, yeah.
It was like that.
And then
yeah.
She kept pulling forward and making it worse,
uh-huh.
You know? And then she did that horrible thing. I mean, you know you have kids, so she wanted to tell her mom while I was there because uh-huh. She felt safer. But
right.
It was like really horrible for me. So anyway, our friendship was like... That was kind of the basis of our friendship. We were in the midst of trying to recover from that. And she had this older boyfriend... Who
the
I mentioned.
Did, the
no,
mother.
No, no. The daughter.
Oh, the daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was older than me. She had an older boyfriend. She was kind of like cool. And she started getting really hot and heavy with this boyfriend, but she was like really a mama's girl, you know, like they were really tight, single mom kind of thing.
How much older was he than her?
Like 5 years or something.
What?
Yeah, it was like
he was like 20.
Damn.
I think he was 20 and she must have been 16, or maybe he was 19 and 16. It was something like that.
All right.
And so her mom was trying to like be inclusive of him, because she knew otherwise her daughter would just be like running off with him anyway.
Uh-huh.
And Valentine's Day was coming up and she was like way too close with her mom. Like she told her mom everything. And so she wanted to like lose her virginity to this guy. And she was also adopted. I should mention that.
Was she,
why does adoption happen?
You'll see.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Where did you live?
I grew up in Beverly Hills on the wild streets. Yeah. Little neighborhood right outside of Compton.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she was adopted. Were her parents like big wigs or anything?
I don't know. I mean, they must have been. They had a Lexus, but I wasn't of the age to like really, you know, care. I don't remember. Yeah. But they lived in one of those like condominiums on Burton Way, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
With a terrible parking lot. Okay. So anyway, so then she brings the guy home to meet her mom because she has this like big plan to like lose her virginity to him on Valentine's Day. And he comes over and the mom's like asking him questions. What's his last name? Where's he from? And suddenly she puts together that he's actually her biological uncle.
No way.
She was dating her uncle.
This stuff happens in Beverly Hills too.
She was dating her uncle. She almost fucked her uncle. And this was right around when South Park had the like, shut your fucking face, uncle fucker. Of course, that was all I could do is just, what a coincidence.
So
this was the last straw after the car and then the uncle.
Well, she like, the last straw.
She moved away. She took her daughter across the country, which who can blame her, you know? But it's funny because they felt like they had such a connection and they did, you know?
Well, was she not? Was she adopted like from a family member?
No.
Like, how was her uncle so close?
I don't know.
Where did they meet?
I don't remember where they met.
I have many questions. So you said she was pulling the... I don't mean to be this aggressive.
No, that's please, usually be Jessica's aggressive. Thing.
But you said so she pulled her car and I thought you meant into a garage. Yes. And then you said parking lot. So what did
it
she...
It was a garage.
Oh, so it was like a huge...
It was their parking
lot, yeah, garage underneath the condominium.
The condominium. But I was just telling that part to kind of paint a picture of like the teenage age and like our relationship. Uh-huh. That wasn't really as much part of the uncle fucking, but those are like the things that stood out from our friendship.
Right.
You know?
So how did the mother figure that out? How did she figure it out that
she
quick?
Asked him his last name and like where he was from and what his family did. And I guess when you adopt, you know, you can do a lot of background checks, I guess, in certain adoption agencies. I don't know.
If it's an open adoption, her kids are adopted. Is that true?
If she was like 16 years old, I think that's a long time to be all like, oh, I remember this family from there and the name and all. I mean,
right,
I do remember
like
the birth
member.
Mother's name and all that kind of stuff, but
I think it was something where it's like something like that where one thing clicked and they might have had to like look on Facebook and do a little more. It wasn't like instantly she was like, you're his uncle, but
so
it was
she
like
found
in
out
that
when he came over that day,
yes,
and in that day she figured the mother figured out that he was the uncle,
yes,
like within like a few hours or
I believe so.
And then how did she tell her daughter right then and there?
Yeah.
And in front of the uncle?
Yeah.
And they had already slept together?
No. Oh. They were going to. It was a real kibosh on their Valentine's Day plan.
So you know they fooled around.
So she but they for sure got fingered by her uncle.
Oh, just got good.
Haven't we all?
Wait, wow. can I ask how old you are now?
I am... No, you can't. No, I'm 31.
You're what?
31.
Oh.
And you were 14 at the time?
I think I was 15.
15?
Because I think she was 16.
Did they have Facebook back then?
No, that's what I say. Facebook didn't get big till like, what, 2007, 2006?
Well, to tell the truth, I wasn't there when that part happened, so I don't know. But I do think that they might have... I mean, I guess there wasn't social media.
So
they might have had to do some homework to find the name or whatever, but there were some...
So did your friend call you up and yeah. tell you and was crying? What did she say about it? It had to have been kind of ridiculous.
Oh my God. And at the time we'd been hanging, like we'd been double dating. I was dating one of his friends. And so
you were dating her cousin?
Yeah. So actually me and the other guy ended up kind of bonding over it. Like I still know him because with him we could do all the uncle fucking jokes. With her I had to be sensitive, you know? And yeah, she had to just like move away and start over after that.
They moved away.
They moved.
Why did they move?
Well, I think her mother was also fed up being like a single mom in LA. She thought dating was really tough. They ended up like both meeting men they weren't related to in Michigan and settling
in
down.
Michigan?
Huh. She was a bad egg.
Well, other I think that was the thing was like she was just kind of having a tough time. I think they'd been moving around and it was one of those things where I felt like I was getting blamed as the bad influence, you know? I don't know. She might have told her mom that she met him through me, even though it was the other way around.
Yeah. How did they meet? How did she meet
her uncle?
I don't
remember how they met.
Yeah. Wow.
Probably at the mall or something. But we were that age where, you know, the weekend comes and you like straighten your hair and try to look 25.
Right.
So as much as it's like he was older than her, like we were out hunting for older men. You know what I mean? Like
hunting for older men.
As one does when you're when
so
you're
they were
like
hunting for
a
you.
Child.
Yeah. Wow.
And you want to feel powerful.
That is
exploring your sexual power.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. I know. I remember one time when I was probably 14, 15 years old and I was walking. No guys ever liked me when I was growing up. And then I had put on some shorts. No, it's totally true. And I was walking down the street. I had no clue. And like two guys from high school were like, hey. And I was all like, God damn, that's right. Because it's a powerful feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're a little girl, people, especially from my generation, you know, people don't really talk to you all that much.
And I remember being like 17 and being so excited that I was jailbait, like torturing people who are older and being like, I have something over you.
Wow, that's a good first story. That's
that's amazing.
That was top that.
You know, well, I can't. First of all, is it my turn?
Yes.
But I have to refer to both mine as true stories. Otherwise, I'm going to get slipped up, and then I'm going to be like, "This is
okay,
you know,
yeah,
so
yeah,
both,
yeah,
these are both true stories."
Okay, that's what you're supposed to
do. I remember. Okay, I'm gonna. I had to start 2 years before the actual incident took place. I remember we're watching the news, and you guys remember Columbine, right?
Right.
So Columbine had just happened, and I must have been in like seventh grade, eighth grade, and I remember watching on the news with my dad, and I saw some guys crying on it, and to me that was weird that boys were crying, because in school it was the guys, you never wanted to cry, you know? And I remember turning to my dad, I said, if that happened in my school, nobody would ever cry. That's not, the guys don't cry like that. And then that was it. And then 2 years later, it was just a few years later, I must have been a junior in high school. I think it was like 2001, 2000. I showed up to school one morning. Everything was normal, right? It was a normal day. And in between classes, we had these two giant courtyards, right? And to get to between each courtyard were two hallways. And it was like herding cattle in between classes when the bell rang, you had to go. So we had a three-bell system. The first bell would ring. That meant, breaks over, get to class. Second bell would ring. That means you have a minute. The third bell rang, don't go to class. You got to go to something called lockout. You're too late. You don't get to go to class. So normally I would leave on the first bell to get to my class. It was on the other side of campus. I was in the north courtyard, and then the second bell rang, and I waited till the very last second. I was like, all right, I'll go now. And as I was walking into one of the hallways that led into the south courtyard, I noticed everybody coming out and looking back into the hallway. So I thought it was a fight, right? And so everybody runs towards the fight, but nobody was running that way. They were looking that way, but running the other direction. So I stood there for a second trying to figure out what happened, and then I'd say just a couple seconds went by, and all of a sudden I felt this pop right next to me.
Stop it!
It hit something hit the building, and the stucco flew in my face. And then pop again, and it hit a soda machine that I was leaning up against. And it was in a hallway, so it echoed really loud. It turned out to be gunshots. So I remember dropping to one knee, and this guy comes out of a bathroom that led out of that looked directly into the hallway, and he was just shooting into the hallway like cattle, just picking people off. And that's when I realized, oh, it's an actual school shooter. So I turned around. I remember me and my buddy were standing next to each other. When we realized what happened, we turned around and ran. You know, in that situation, you never know what you're going to do. Everybody met in like a courtyard across the street. And we didn't realize how big it was until later that night when it was all over the news worldwide. And it turns out they were interviewing kids from the school that night. And all the guys were crying. And I just remember that one instance with my dad where I remember said nobody would ever cry. And here it happened at our school and all the guys were crying.
Where did you grow up?
Yeah.
I grew up in San Diego.
In 2001.
This is 2001, 2000?
Yeah, did what you, school?
How long after Columbine was that?
Must have been 2 years. 2 years, I think.
After Columbine. Did you guys have drills at your school of what you should do should something like that happen?
No.
We didn't.
Yeah, nobody back then, nobody knew.
Who was the shooter? Was he a student?
Yeah, student.
Did you know him?
I knew him through friends, yeah.
And how many did people pass away? Because
two kids died, and 13 shot.
Did he come out? Did they apprehend him alive?
Yes.
And did he say why he did it?
Yeah, I think he was trying to fit in with the cool kids, and some kids said, "You're a pussy, man. You won't do it." And then I think that spurred on from there. So people knew about it, apparently.
Wow.
I hope this one's not true.
Oh, both my stories are true.
You were a surfer kid back then?
Yeah, I was a surfer.
If this is a lie, that is a bold fucking
You're
move,
a
my
monster.
Friend.
I know.
Jessica knows the truth. She knows me. Not in the story, but I mean, she knows how I can be.
So how long before you guys went back to school? Like, how traumatized were you? Did you go talk to counselors and stuff?
We had a day off and right back to school. And counselors.
Well, that was
on
before
campus.
I could see that. I really could. Back in 2000, yeah, that was before 9/11.
Was it like an open campus? Like you could just come and go?
Yeah, I think we're all schools back then. I don't remember anything ever being locked up.
Do you have PTSD? Where if you hear loud noises, that you get nervous or react?
No, for a while I couldn't go in college campuses where it was indoor college. Uh-huh. It had to be, everything had to be outside. I would just get real paranoid.
Uh-huh. Did but you nothing know really. That I mean, kid I could personally?
No.
Yeah.
So did you go to an outdoor college?
Well, everything. I mean.
I love you, Jess.
Yeah, it was an open campus.
What
did
you have for
college?
Lunch that day?
I just want to say real quick, because I'm keeping up with the comments. Lindsay on Facebook says, bullshit.
Oh,
just call me out.
So
thank God
we'll find
she
out.
Broke
so,
ice.
Yeah, exactly. So keep watching. So yeah.
What she knows.
Yeah.
She's like, wow. I was there. Not really.
Maybe she's Googling the dates and I got them wrong.
Possibly.
Oh,
who
maybe.
Knows?
Yeah, we're not allowed to Google
allowed to
down
do that.
There. So wow. That is such a I'm sorry if that did happen to you, but
if it didn't, fuck you.
Yeah, if it didn't, you brought the podcast down.
I'm telling you, I prepared for this.
Wow.
I'm ready.
Wow. Any questions, Jessica? Jessica's stumped. Like, she's like, oh.
Well, this is the Eleanor thing all over again. Eleanor had me feeling really bad for
right?
her.
Right.
And you're going to do the same thing, and then you're going to be like.
Pulling the sympathy card.
So, how was your hearing after that? Because you said, no, because
well, he
you
was
said
outside,
that.
Though.
But he said that it hit something right by his head. So
yeah, well, when you
it
shoot into a
hearing?
Hallway, no matter how small the gun is, it's going to make a loud noise.
Uh-huh.
See. Yeah, your ears are ringing for a while after that.
Uh-huh. And,
absolutely.
So what happened afterwards? So you guys went across the street and you had to go sit at a park.
It was at
wait a minute, because you had just said, you made a good point with the, because you did say stucco or something at your face.
Mm-hmm.
So were you injured?
No, just, not injured, but stucco did fly off into my face. You could feel it hit my face, but
and
I wasn't bleeding
or
anything.
I do believe that stucco would be in San Diego.
A true detective over here to my left.
What did your parents say?
Sorry.
Yeah.
I don't remember to say much, honestly. Just happy I was okay.
Yeah.
I have an internet question.
Yes.
Do it now or save it for later?
No, go ahead.
She said, what did you do between almost being shot and seeing it was a big deal on the news? So after it happened. And
oh, okay.
Later that
so
night.
We.
Good question.
We,
good question.
Nobody knew what to do. We got to the parking lot of high school. I was with some friends and we were like, do we have to go back to class? We didn't really understand the magnitude of what was going on. So I drove home and I remember driving home and a cop car coming before the cops were even there. So before I was going one way, cop car just speeding the other way.
So you guys left before the cops
got there. Yeah, yeah. And then I got home and some friends had followed me home and we were watching on the news and that's when I realized. And then people were getting calls from family in different countries.
Did you know any of the two that passed?
I did not know them, no.
Did you have any friends?
Yeah, anyone injured?
Yeah. Did you know anyone that was injured? Mm-hmm. Now, did you cry at all? Did you cry?
Do you
want to
cry now?
No, 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 no.
Can we hug you now?
Yeah, I guess I remember one time I went to a memorial and I did cry on the walking on the way home, realizing actually what had happened. That was the only time.
If this is true, after this podcast, we're going to have a group hug. If it's not,
we're going to beat the shit out of you. Wow. God, you guys are freaks with the uncle fucking. And then
I'm just glad I didn't go second.
No, no. That
would have been rough, dude.
I do want to say real quick, there's one guy that like first commented, said, how long have you all been doing comedy? Because I said, ask us any questions for the guests. I said, how long have you been doing comedy? I said, no kind of stuff aimed towards the stories. And then the girl that has been asking the question, she said, no, not right now. She goes, no, right now is uncle fucking story time.
All right. She's awesome. All right, so if no one has any questions, we're going to move right on to Heather's second story. That is such a disturbing story.
Are we going
to
be okay?
That is disturbing. Or is it? Yeah.
Are you a fucking psycho?
You know I like murder mysteries. You know what I'm into.
He's always worried about getting murdered. He's got this joke.
That is my biggest fear.
Forensic files.
Yeah, that is my biggest fear.
And he won't
Don't worry,
like...
only women get murdered.
Oh, no, my biggest fear is being wrongfully convicted of a murder, not being murdered.
That's more likely.
Yeah, wrongfully convicted is way worse.
A white man, for sure.
Wow. All right. So what's your second story, Heather?
All right. So this is another story about coincidence. There are some similar themes. This time it was me and my older boyfriend.
How old were you?
I was 18 or 17. No, I think I was 17, I think, with a fake ID. And my boyfriend was maybe 22 or 23 or something. And I have a fake front tooth.
You do?
From like a childhood rollerblading thing.
Me too.
Can you smile really broadly? And, all right. Is it this one?
This one's mostly fake.
Okay.
This one's half anyway. It was a terrible little rollerblading incident. It was actually really... ridiculous because my mom basically just made me paranoid when I was little. She's like, if you go rollerblading around the neighborhood, like, you'll be kidnapped and raped. And she would scare me so that I would only rollerblade down the neighbor's driveway, turn onto the sidewalk, trudge back up the stairs, down the driveway, around the side. So I kept doing this over and over. And then one time I turned too wide, tripped over a sprinkler, and like I put my hands down to block my face, but my tooth just went like right in between.
Ugh.
And my mom came out, and there was blood, and I was crying. And she was like, it's okay. All the movie stars have fake teeth. And then I stopped crying. So anyway.
Was she like, the upside is you didn't get raped?
Yeah, basically.
Jesus.
And like, we lived in Beverly Hills, so it was kind of ridiculous that she... I mean, like, it was not the worst neighborhood to be rollerblading in, but whatever. So she was paranoid, and it worked. Anyway, so I broke my tooth. So I have this tooth veneer, and at the time I'm 18, my boyfriend's 22, we're on one of our dates, and he says, like, he's being fun, or maybe I was being fun, and I was like, do you want to go to that strip club? And I'd never been to a strip club, but I was like at that age where you want to pretend that you're cool or something, you know, I'm so cool, let's go look at other hot girls, it's fine. So we go to this strip club, but it was like one of the ones on Sunset that I don't know if it's even there anymore. But we went into the strip club and...
The Seventh Veil?
Maybe it was that one.
And not the one right here.
I don't think it was this one right here. But if I had to go today, it would be that one. Because the signs
are
cool.
Yeah, they are.
she's like, that's the one. Okay, so we go into the strip club and... there's like, I don't know what it was about the lighting. I guess it was black light or whatever the light was. He kept turning to me and going, you have something in your teeth. And I kept going to the bathroom and checking and seeing nothing in my teeth and coming back. And it would happen like over and over again. So finally I turn and I look in the mirror at the strip club and my tooth is black because of the light. Like whatever material they used on my tooth at the time made it look like I had like no tooth.
Yes. I have the same thing.
So it was really embarrassing. So I was already kind of like wanting to leave just for that.
Are you sure you're not like from the South like me?
No. Okay. No, I'm just trashy. no, so so I was already kind of wanting to leave and I wasn't really as cool as I was pretending to be with like watching all the strippers or whatever. Uh-huh. And he was like, let's just stay for like one more like whatever. So we're staying. this stripper comes out on the walkway, and I realize it's my oldest sister, my half sister, who I'm like estranged from.
Shut up.
Yes.
Are you serious?
So she was originally like a. So she's my half sister. She's like 10 years older than me, and she was a stripper in Hawaii. And there was like many years where my mom was like, "We're not talking to her because she didn't agree with her lifestyle
was
of
she
stripping
your
and all
mother's
this stuff."
Daughter?
My mom's daughter from her first marriage. So I knew that I wasn't like really like I'm not allowed to talk to her or whatever.
And your mom didn't talk to her?
No.
Why?
My mom's a really kind of like hardcore critical bitch and at times. And I think she just felt like if she didn't talk to her that she would stop stripping to like have communication with the family again or something.
So how weird that the mother tells the younger daughter, don't go past like a block or you're going to get raped. And then her other daughter is stripping a mile away on Sunset Boulevard?
Well, I think I don't know if she knew that she was living in Los Angeles. I didn't know she was living in Los Angeles because we'd already been like not talking to her for like 2 years. And they had a much, like my mom was a lot younger when she had her. She'd had her with a married man. Like she was definitely, my mom's never been maternal, but I'm the youngest and I got the best version of her. Mm-hmm. So we have a middle sister who's only 5 years older, but this was my oldest sister who I was estranged from. She was a half sister.
Did she look like you?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, he wouldn't have known except that I was like, oh, my God, that's my fucking sister. Like, it was just, I was in such shock and I was so, like, kind of humiliated, but also, like, embarrassed for her, but, like, embarrassed for me. And
did you look at her?
I mean, I've seen her naked a million times. She was also that older sister who would always, like, walk through naked and I'd be, like, embarrassed in front of my friends because I was still, like, young and, like, not comfortable with my body and stuff.
My friends never had sisters like that.
Yeah. My sister was always like a dancer and she was comfortable with her body and it was like just such a fucking nightmare.
So did you stay and watch her dance or did you leave?
No, we didn't stay for the whole thing. And she was like avoiding.
Big question.
Yeah.
What song was she dancing to?
Oh, fuck. I don't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I was just
nothing
too...
like Meat is Murder or anything like that by the Smiths. I used to be I was a stripper when I was 18.
You were?
That was my song.
Meat is Murder? That was a good one.
I would do like theme songs, you know what I mean? Like I would do... Well,
so you were the Lady Gaga of stripping.
I imagine you in a meat suit.
It was a meat
suit. I am in a meat suit. That was the joke, right? That was the joke. I was doing comedy at night, and then I would strip during the day. I was a day stripper.
But think about two T-bones.
Day stripper, that's a tough shit.
Day stripper.
That's a tough shit.
She could afford porter.
You're too cute to be a day stripper. That's the ugly girl shift. What are you doing?
That's not so. That's... Oh, no. But then I had this girlfriend, Jewel Shepherd, who is a B movie actress. You can look her up if you want. And she was like on Knots Landing and a bunch of stuff. But she used to dress. She would do the whole full Lady Gaga thing. Like she would do like Little Red Riding Hood, and she would have like a red cape and a little basket, and she would hand out chocolate kisses. She made so much money. Me, not so much.
Yeah.
So that sounds fun.
You don't remember any song? The song that
I
she
don't would, remember the song. No. Uh-huh. I remember the outfit.
Was it topless or bottomless?
I think they got completely naked or I don't remember. Maybe it was topless.
Did she recognize you right off?
Yeah. I didn't recognize her at first until she got close to us. But then like she was first kind of doing like little dance for him. Uh-huh. And then like it was like, you know, you get down low and you're just like, whoa.
And she obviously didn't recognize you.
No, she did. She recognized me, but she couldn't like stop dancing. You know, she was just kind of like,
did she start dancing away? Like, oh, no.
Yes, she didn't. She went and like paid more attention to people that were like on the other side of the thing. And I was just like, we have to go.
I don't know about
I know
that.
Which one is real. I know already.
You know.
I know it. Yeah.
Well, do you have any questions just to confirm your suspicions?
Nope, I'm 100% sure.
I got it. Yeah, that's tricky.
Told you I'm good at this.
That's super tricky. Because I remember once when I was dancing, I had done these open mics, right, doing comedy. And then one day a comic came in.
Yeah, what do? It's so awkward, right?
I still had to keep going. But I think stripper code is if your little sister comes into the club, you get to run off the stage.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, she was never really ashamed of that, I think.
Uh-huh.
And maybe she thought you were there to see her. She doesn't know.
Yeah,
she maybe didn't you thought know. She thought this was like a surprise reunion.
So what happened with your sister? How long? What happened? What was her story?
She was kind of just like, "Don't tell mom I'm still doing this." Like she was sort of reached out to me, even though we hadn't been.
Did she
contact.
Like do the money move, bend over, and was like, "Psst, don't tell mom."
No, she sent me. She sent me a text after. I wish she had done that.
A text.
Yeah, because we hadn't been in communication. Because see, the thing is. I was sort of so young that I didn't really have compassion. Like, I was buying all the bullshit my mom was telling me of, like, this is her choice, and you know what I mean? Like, and I was like, oh, she's being such an idiot or something. Like, I was, like, didn't really want to reach out to her. But then this happened, and she reached out to me, and she was like, oh, please don't tell mom. Like, let's get together. So then we actually started hanging out a little bit and, like, meeting up, and I wouldn't tell my mom where I was going or that I was seeing her. And we ended up, like, becoming closer after being estranged. So it was kind of, like, good run-in. But it was really fucking awkward, yeah.
And so is your sister working a normal job?
She's a massage therapist now.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know. She might give happy things. Who's to say?
No. God, what is fucking wrong with you two?
I'm from Los Angeles. That's my defense for that. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, do we want Uncle Fucker or Sister Stripper?
It's a family night. That's what I thought. I thought, you know what? This is a family show. Let's keep it in the fam.
Wow. Anybody want to ask any questions now or no?
I don't know if I missed this, but when you saw her for the first time, she recognized you at the same time and she didn't say anything?
We recognized each other, but I think neither of us were like, you know how it is when you see someone that you're like, is that?
It? Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then you're like,
I think it would be hard to kind of say something because the music's
yes,
pretty
exactly.
loud.
Exactly.
The music that you don't remember.
She's like, oh, she's got a black tooth. That's not...
Yeah, and I was all I was trying not to smile. I was already trying to get out of there. So it wasn't like it was such a like, you know, we'd only said we were going to stay for one more thing. It wasn't like, you know.
And did you fess it to up to your
boyfriend?
Oh yeah,
I told him everything and it brought us closer and he was like, "Let me be your shoulder to cry on." You know.
Oh,
you know how they do.
Let me be your dick to.
Yeah. And let's call your sister. Yeah. That's what was going on. Wow.
It was a nightmare.
Wow, two but good stories.
We still got laid.
Wow. All right, let's go over to Steve's last story.
All right, so this next one also takes place in San Diego. There was in the later 90s. There's this. I was still in junior high school, right? And there's a big punk scene going on in the San Diego community.
You guys both told high school stories,
young
by the
teenage
way.
Stories. Yeah.
Both of them. And then I'd always played guitar. My dad played guitar growing up, and so I'd always been into that. And the dream with me and the friends that lived in the neighborhood was to get into this punk scene. The cool thing about this punk scene is that you guys know Sid Vicious and all those guys. Those were our idols. And there was a specific club called the Shea Cafe in San Diego, and that's where all the punk... Shea?
Where was it at in San Diego?
This one was towards the UCSD campus. And so everyone wanted to play the Shea Cafe. That was the thing.
What does Shea mean?
I never looked into
it. Is it RuPaul's or something like
does
like
she?
That? Who's Shea? Touche.
No,
like
I don't know.
Slay, but not.
I can't unsee that.
You Shea.
Okay.
We had the Shea Cafe, and that's what you wanted to work up to as a punk band to get into. And looking back on it, it was nothing. It was just this dump of a place. Right, but we knew that's where all the girls hung out, and that's the place you wanted to play to be seen. So we were, I must have been eighth grade at the time, so around there, we started a band. In the neighborhood, we started a punk band, right? We started playing throughout high school, and then by the time we got to our junior year, we really started to get good, right? So we talked to the booker who booked for the Shea Cafe. He went by James Dean. He was the guy. He was the guy that was, you know, the guy that hung out at high school parties and way too old to be there.
No.
That was James Dean.
Right.
Yeah, that was him. And so, but to us,
that was my boyfriend.
Yeah, remember him? But to us, when you're in high school, like, that guy's cool. He's got his own car.
Oh yeah.
His mom doesn't bother him at home. Yeah, he's got everything.
Beers.
Right. He would buy his beer, and then you know, and he always had weed on him. So that was the guy. But anyways, he booked the Shea Cafe, right? So. We got lucky because our drummer happened to know a girl that had dated him. She was only like, I don't know, must have been 17. And so she put us in contact with James Dean, right? And he set it up for this show at the Shea Cafe. And it was us.
I love Felicia's poker face. So yeah. She won't show any emotion.
I've noticed that.
Yeah. No, you know what? I was just thinking about the story you told, the first story about the gunshots, and I was just like, if this motherfucker lied about those gunshots, how messed up is that?
Yeah. I'm a comic. Come on. Right. Did it do that bad?
Yeah, we're all damaged.
I know, but that's right.
It's a bold move.
It's a bold move. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So anyway, we finally get our opportunity to play at the Shea Cafe, right? Down UCSD, around that campus. Right. Is that something? I don't know what that's from.
I think it's RuPaul.
Is it?
Well, I've heard like we came to play or something, but then.
Yeah, but that's different.
I'm making things up.
Oh, God. Okay, because of rhyme.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'm a rhymer.
Please continue.
So we were playing. I remember there was this band, Red Gun Radar, that we were supposed to play with, right? Red Gun Radar was the band that everybody looked up to in the scene. Red Gun Radar.
And they were a San Diego band?
San Diego band, local punk band. And to us, they were, that's where you wanted to be. And they were, now I look back, you know, they were just sleazeballs, you know? And so, the girl Jessica, who had dated James D, that put us in contact with us, he was like, "You got to make some flyers. You got to put these flyers together. We're gonna make this is your opportunity to make
this
it big,
chance,
right?"
Man.
Yeah. So we went, and this is before
a lot of pressure for anything.
Yeah. This is before you could do much with computers. Nobody really. I didn't even have a computer in my house.
Person, man.
Right. Yeah. Like we're gonna get all of our fans. Basically, our fans were our family. You know, we get our family to go, friends of friends, and we drew up the flyer, and my friend did the artwork for it, and we put we were never. Never been to Brooklyn. That was the name. Never been to Brooklyn, even though our drummer was from Brooklyn. I don't remember. So never been to name. Brooklyn was the band name.
Felicia? No, I'm listening. Oh. This is my listening phase.
Paying attention.
Is the story that
attention.
Bad?
No, I'm listening because I'm trying to listen to see where you're messing up. So that's why I'm listening. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we make the flyers. We tell everybody. You know, we tell everybody at school. We start handing them out. Hey, we're going to be here. We're going to be at the Shea Cafe. Red Gun Radar is headlining. We're going to be opening for them. And it gets closer and closer to the date, and we haven't heard from James Dean yet, right? We haven't heard anything from him, but Jessica's telling us that, hey, you know, yeah, he's here. We're going to talk to him when we get down there. Anyway, the day the show comes, we had a practice just before we got there. We didn't go to school. It was a Friday night. We had to stay up and practice because this was our Ed Sullivan. You know what I mean? We were going to be famous after this. So we load up our vans. We get down to Shea Cafe, and we realize the club hadn't been running for the last 2 months. She didn't know James Dean at all. Jessica was just trying to hook up with our drummer, and she thought that was the way to do it. I don't know how she planned the end game to hook up with him. There was no show. Red Gun Radar was never booked for the show.
The
we showed there. We showed
closed.
Up to Shea. There was Shea was no longer
so
open.
So you fucking guys Jessica. Never, yeah, screw that chick, number one, if yeah. It's true. But
give her a benefit of the doubt.
But I don't know about this story. What did Jessica look like? Like, why was it hard for her to sleep with the drummer?
Well,
yeah, the drummers are the easiest this is back to when, sleep with. Well,
first of all, our drummer was the looker in the band, so he had his pick of anybody, right? And this was just like when emo was really big, so the girl had kind of a shaved head with the bangs, and none of us were really into that look to begin with. And then the cheetah spots, you know how everybody had cheetah spots with the bangs? It was one of those girls, real punky.
Why
not
did
the
you,
best looker.
So you guys never drove by, you were just like, we're booked, you never drove by the venue after that, the 2 months that it was booked for, that she lied about it. You guys never
put flyers
called.
Up at the cafe? Yeah.
No, never thought of
none
it.
None of your Nuh-uh. Friends
none
ever
of your family
me.
Members ever said, oh,
who
I
showed
saw
up
that was
for
close.
I mean, we were 17, I don't know, 16, 17 was it by the time we played the show? I guess we never, didn't even cross our head. We were so excited to just be invited, or so we thought.
Who showed up to the show? Did people come to the
We had
venue?
A couple friends. The flyers didn't do much help. We had a friend of a friend and a couple kids from class. We may have had 4 or 5 people that
so
showed
what'd
up
you
for
do?
Us.
Did you jam out anywhere?
We went home and had a house party.
Whose house?
At home.
My friend, the drummer, Toby.
Did she get laid? Did they sleep?
No,
together?
He never slept with her.
Did she show
we
up? Was she there? Like
we didn't
sorry.
Invite her. We were so upset at that time. She was not allowed to come back. No, we never spoke with
but
her again.
Did she show up
her.
At the venue? Like, what did she think was going
to
happen?
Yeah, see, that's what I say. I don't know where her end game was. I'm assuming she tried to close a deal before that, and it didn't happen. And that was
or
her
was she
her
gonna,
plan.
So when you showed up, she didn't play dumb. Like, oh my God, what's going on?
No, she wasn't
James
there.
Dean? Why is this closed?
Uh-uh. Is it wrong that I like her in this story?
She's kind of like wrong? A man in the story. She's like, I'm going to use my power to get laid.
Yeah, like you're going places, babe.
Yeah, have you ever thought something out, but you never really get to the end? Like, oh, okay, maybe I'll close the table for this. I'm assuming, I don't know. I don't know what her end goal was.
What songs are you guys going
to
play?
We had all original songs. Our major hit was Downshift. That was our hit. And by that, I mean a couple friends liked it.
Can you sing it for us right now?
I don't even remember the lyrics. It was something about, I remember this. It was snow-lit TV screens was a line in there.
Snow-lit TV screens.
What does it was that even about, mean, snow-lit?
You know, when you're sitting, you had the fuzz on the TV. It was about being depressed, sitting at home. And the only thing that lighted up the room was a snow-lit TV screen.
See, but that wasn't so long ago. Like...
What was it so long ago?
That this story happened. And so I would assume...
He said 8th grade, didn't he?
No, 8th grade is when the band started. By the time we finally got... That's when we started the band together. By the time we got to the show, we were like juniors in high school, I'd say. 17?
Just a weird lyric, snow-lit TV screens.
When you asked me to sing the song.
When you guys
teenage
had
angst, man.
Cable. Yeah. I know, but when you guys had emo cable, was real big. And how would you guys even know about snow-lit?
Because back then, if you didn't turn the cable box on... You would just have a snow-lit TV screen.
We were all born in the 80s. We grew up in the 80s
Didn't
and early 90s.
Did you ever write poetry in high school, though? It's like the worst. Like, it doesn't make sense.
I had one published.
Mine was great.
And it was really? Love is kind. Love is colorblind.
Somewhere. That was it? Just two lines? That's a tweet, Jessica.
That was before my time!
Where did that get published? Where was that published?
That is a tweet.
I don't know, my teacher, we had the book. It was just like a little book.
That she mimeographed and stapled together? Like, what are you talking about? God.
See, I feel like we both had a slight cop out of like when you tell the teenage stories because you don't remember every little thing.
Well, but your second Going story had a little bit more information than the first story, which is weird to me because if I was to be shot at, I think I would remember everything.
And your parents being so lackadaisical?
Yeah.
Unless you were a man and you just like pushed your feelings down though, right?
I mean, you see it come out of Garza sometimes, though.
See what?
Your feelings.
Really?
When you like get upset?
How? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Does
oh,
he okay. have anger issues?
I get upset. Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so then I think the first story is probably true. No, I don't know. Wow. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Andrew, do you have any questions over any of Steven's stories?
I don't know. I'm just not going to the place that you're going to be performing at
seems
or even if not going there to promote your own shit,
because
if it's the place
a sound check or
well, that's usually the day of. Oh. But like usually if it's a place that like is really popular, that'd be like you having a show at the store and not going to the store for 2 months.
I've done that plenty of times.
Not here, but any other club. That's not helping your case.
I don't think it is because I mean you're still going if it's a place that is popping like. You're saying this place is. It's like the one place that everyone wants to go. So I'm assuming they've got shows every weekend.
And what I mean when everyone wants to go, we're talking about a small punk scene in San Diego. And everyone is our circle of friends. We're not talking about...
That's true.
This would have been... So junior high school would have been probably 2000, 2001. Because I graduated 02.
So you were in junior high school when this happened?
No. High school when we put the band together. It was about 8th grade.
Right, so you're...
But by the time we started playing shows, we were about a junior, probably juniors in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, because I have teenage kids. And you're right. And whenever they do plans, like they have this little art scene thing that they do, they go and they sniff around constantly at that.
That's where my brain's thinking.
Right? That's kind of what I'm thinking. But on the other hand, then that would mean if that's the lie, then the school shooting is the truth.
I feel the
I think you're getting you just so don't want that
I'm
going to
give
true.
Them the benefit of the doubt.
And say,
I kind of want it to be true only because if not, you're just a mean person.
Why is that
I'm just,
so
no,
mean?
I feel like I kind of remember
something happening in San Diego after Columbine, but I'm not a hundo. Right.
Yeah, I don't remember anything that got national attention.
Yeah,
after
but he
that
could.
He,
that could be that happened at another high school, and he's co-opting that story.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. What were you wearing that day? Do you remember anything about what you were wearing? Did you get?
Did you have a girlfriend?
No.
Were you worried
no
about
girlfriend.
Anybody?
He just drove straight home. He didn't check on any of his friends.
I drove straight home. No girlfriend. I don't remember what I was wearing, no.
What were you driving?
Oh, I had a 68 Mustang, my first car.
Are you serious?
Yeah, 1968 Mustang.
Really?
Uh-huh. Wow, that's why I'm in love with your truck out there.
Yeah
but how
so beautiful.
Hold on, how old were you again?
Same age as the band, about 17.
No, we're talking about the shooting.
Yeah, it was in high school.
So was it the same year, the band situation and the shooting?
Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, those were the same year.
The same year. So you were both...
Both juniors in high school.
Those two stories happened when you were a junior in high school.
Yeah.
What story happened first?
I believe the shooting happened first.
It's so stupid because one is a lie. So I can be
no, they're both the truth in my head. That's how I came into this.
By the way, we asked that our guests don't really tell two true stories, so we're hoping.
So you better not. I told him.
Because she gets angry. Yeah.
I can handle her.
Oh, shit. Oh. No one told me that.
Oh, really?
No, but who would do that? That's not the game.
People have done that, and it's very irritating. So what do you think, Jessica?
Oh, man. I think he's lying about the shooting. Because
you think he's a bad person?
I think that he is dark inside for sure.
I'm just a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, that's what you like to put out there. You know, Mr. Perfect.
Oh, because I beat you 2 times in the hair contest and you think I'm a bad guy.
I won the first time. I had the most votes, but I had to leave.
Wow, that's not true.
This is true.
All right, she had to get to her poetry convention.
Oh, love is kind. I can't believe the school shooting. Your parents would have been worried about you and where you were.
Yeah, did you have a cell phone?
No, I didn't have a cell phone until after high school.
I could see that. I didn't get a cell phone until later in high school, and I had a pager back then. We were the same age if you graduated in 02.
Yeah. Some kids had cell phones. I remember I didn't until out of high school.
Must have been hard.
So what do you think, Jessica?
Man, that's really hard. I don't think that the school shooting is true, but then again, he could be purposely leaving out a lot of details on that one.
Right.
To make it seem like it's not true. Uh-huh. You know,
I'm kind of leaning towards more details maybe is the lie, which would be the second one.
Right.
That's been biting me in the ass lately, though. That has. Because I've been like, oh, yeah, you just added. So I guess I'm going to say that the school shooting is not true. That's a lie. School shooting is a lie, and I'm going with the lady online.
And so I'm a bad person. That's what you think.
No, I think it's not that you're a bad person. I think you'd be more of a bad.
You're a good liar. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
No, I guess you are a bad person. You're right.
Wow. But if the school shooting one is the lie, but it's just so messed up. Work. Yeah, it's like, that is just so messed up. What do you think, Andrew? It is. What do you think, Andrew?
I'm going to vote that the school shooting is the truth only because I want you to be a good person. I don't want that to ever happen to anyone, but if that's the truth, and the other one, it sucks, but I don't know.
I think if it really would have happened to him, he wouldn't have told the story.
I feel like there was this little moment right before he started where he was like, I'm going to say both of these stories are the truth because otherwise I'll confuse myself or whatever. And I feel like you would only say that if the first one you were telling was a lie.
So you think the school shooting is a lie?
I'm torn.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
It's really hard. But that little moment did make me wonder.
Makes sense.
And a lot of times people will do the lie first to get it out of the way.
That's true.
Okay, then I'm going to go with the school shooting's a lie.
All right. That doesn't make me a bad person if that's the truth. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you're wrong.
I feel like I'm gambling.
So Heather says the school shooting story is a lie. Andrew says the school shooting story is the truth.
Yeah. If I'm wrong, am I the bad person?
No, yeah, not right? At all. Like, no.
We're all fucked either way. Like,
Jessica says that it's a lie. The school shooting is a lie. Damn. I'm going to say that the school shooting is the truth because I just don't believe. But then here's what messes me up about it.
I know. I'm going back and forth.
Is let's be totally like icky, gross people. If the school shooting story is the truth, that's a big thing in your pocket. Why would you spill that on on this podcast? You know what I mean? Like, I would save that in my pocket to get on Joey Diaz's podcast or something like that, or Rogan's podcast.
Why would this be the first time we're hearing it?
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So I'm going to say this: the school
Because there would have been rumors around the door guy yes, scene, and they would have been like, oh, yes, don't mess with cars. He was in a school shooting.
Yeah.
That did pop
I don't
into
know.
My head.
Or do you not talk about that stuff because it's horrible?
Yeah, but I talk about my horrible stuff like right when I shake people's hands.
No, but that's like if you can
my
make a joke
my grandpa touched
out of
me
it.
By the swamp cooler.
Hi, yeah. I'm Felicia. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, wow.
What's a swamp cooler?
That's a difficult one. I'm going to say that the school shooting story is the truth.
Ooh.
Because I don't believe you would know that. If that club was the place to play and you are trying to be in this little punk rock scene, even if you're a junior or senior in high school, I think the rumor would be like, did you hear that Shay closed? I think everybody would know. That'd be like the Comedy Store closing. And
well,
anybody in the comedy scene.
I mean, he said small punk scene, though. That is different. I remember I went through a phase and I was trying to do like this Christian rock scene. I mean, everybody.
God damn it, Jessica. Yeah.
So many careers, Jessica.
There's
wow.
something new every time.
Well, this guy that I liked and everything, he got me into it.
Your cousin?
Not this one. Okay.
Just but, a Christian rocker.
Yeah. But we would know where all the happening events were going on, but right. everybody else didn't because they weren't into the Christian rock scene.
Right, but I'm saying if he was, he would talked about that the Shay was the place to be and we really wanted to play there and blah, blah. If you were that into it, you would know a place closed for 2 months.
I think it sounded like a lot of high schoolers didn't get to play there.
I know, but that was that he put that, the way he told the stories, he put that punk rock arena or whatever, you know, club on this pedestal, and then, but you wouldn't know. I'm going to say that the music story is the lie and it's the truth about.
Well, I think it's the truth, damn it.
So,
what is it?
And I just want to add this real quick. The Shea Cafe was a whole, it sat, there's 40 people standing room only. It was a little hole in the wall. We're not talking about an amphitheater.
Right.
So, however you want to take that, I just want to, I forgot, I don't know if I mentioned that earlier or not.
You just looked at your notes.
He's sprinkling.
No, this is a different story. These are my longer. These aren't the ones I did.
That's right. Okay. It was a small room. Yes.
All right. So to clarify that once again, I'm saying the shooting story is true. You're saying
lie.
It's a lie. You're saying it's lie. A lie. You're saying it's a lie.
No, true.
It's true. So we're on the same page. What is the truth and what is the lie?
The lie is that I was not. I was in a punk band, but that never happened. The punk story never happened.
You're a good person.
Never happened.
I'm so happy.
I can't believe
you
didn't.
Bet against
the whole time I was telling that story, I was like, "They're on to you." Just keep going. I thought you guys fell right through it.
That's not true.
That was not true at all.
School shooting.
Yeah, absolutely. I was
100%. I've never been happier than a school shooting.
Yeah, true.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry that I have experienced that.
I guess I've talked about it a few times, but it never comes up. So when do I, you know? And I've tried to make jokes about it, but it's very hard to get that bit to work.
That funny.
Very hard. I've tried it a few times. I've tried it here a couple times. I was like, did she hear that or not? I guess she didn't. But yeah. So I mean, I haven't talked about it on a podcast.
I can't believe
you're
in a school shooting.
Yeah.
Wow. I knew it. 2000, even though I voted against it.
Jesus.
And I left out a lot of details because I didn't want you to think.
And you really don't have PTSD because of it?
No, I had that one for a while. I had two dreams, or I guess you call them. The counselors on campus told me they were nightmares when I went in because they pulled everybody inside who was close to it. And then it was hard for me to go to indoor schools. Like if I walked in an indoor hallway, yeah, I'd get real nervous. But it wasn't nothing that bad. I mean, I got over that.
Oof, that's brutal.
But, yeah.
Wow.
But I still, I guess, no, you know what? Because when I'm at restaurants, I sit with my back against the wall so I can see everybody. So, you know, it's done little things like that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I want to say, Lindsay, the girl that's been following the podcast, by the way, thank you so much for
Lindsay.
That. She said, get out. I trust nothing anymore.
Wow. Also, if you don't believe me, look it up. It's
remember some things.
Yeah.
Well, there was actually two. 2 weeks later, a school down the street got shot up. To within 2 weeks, I think. But kids were shot in that one, but nobody died in that one.
Did you
thankfully.
Ever have like survivor's guilt or things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, because I mean, the stuff that ricocheted off the wall, the bullet was like a foot within my head. I mean, me and my friend, and he wasn't aiming at me because I've gone through everything, and I've looked at all the notes, and I've read all the testimonies. He was just shooting into the hallway, picking off anybody, just shooting. It was a herd. It was like cattle. So he was just hitting whoever he could, and it just happened to get close. So
what a nightmare!
I think about that sometimes.
Ooh, so he's still in jail.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life. Right?
Yeah. He's trying to get out, but he's in. Yeah, he's probably not going to get out. Doesn't look like it anyway.
So the only reason he did that is because someone dared him and said he was a pussy?
Not because of, I think he was trying to fit in with this specific group that was hanging out, and that was through his head. Yeah. Who knows why that's what he chose.
Well, I'm sorry that you experienced that, and especially for the people who lost their lives, that's really terrible, terrible. Anyway, back to Heather. I mean, what do you say
about strippers? Okay.
What do you say about that? So we're going to go from that heavy subject of Stephen experiencing a school shooting, which was the truth, to
something lighter like incest.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you guys quickly the story that Heather had was she had a close friend when she was in high school who was adopted and had a boyfriend, an older boyfriend that she was all into, and she was going to have sex with him, and then the mother met him and recognized pretty quickly that was in fact her birth uncle.
Yeah,
her young. And then her second story.
When you say it all truncated like that, I know.
And her second story is,
was she white?
Yeah.
Did they look alike? Did they have similarities?
Not like particularly, but you know how like there'll be a couple that looks good together and you're like, are you guys in love or are you siblings? Like sometimes, like they didn't look like they couldn't be related,
look alike. It's
but
true.
They didn't look like they were brother and sister, you know?
Right.
They were just two white people. It's could have been, I don't know, you know?
And your second story was about having an older boyfriend with a fake ID and going into a strip club here on Sunset Boulevard when you were 17 to see your estranged older sister who was 10 years
go
older.
Go to see her, but she
no,
was
I know.
There.
And then saw your older sister was stripping in front of you.
Shaking her group thing. I mean, I ran out before she got anything off, so that was
good. Oh, she didn't take her...
She was doing it, but, once she did her first lap, I was like, we gotta go.
Wow.
See, you know what my problem is with that second story? Is she started off by saying that she was 17 with a fake ID, and her boyfriend was 21 or 22, and then toward the end, she said she was 18.
Yeah. Maybe. I was 17.
But she was kind of unclear about, but she did say fake ID.
I did have a fake ID for
you
sure.
You did say that in the beginning, but then you said I'm
But it
I
might have
18.
Been a 21 bar. See, I'm not 100% clear on that part,
I wouldn't,
to be honest.
We've had so many stories where people like get the age by like a year messed up. I wouldn't.
Was there alcohol?
Yeah, that's what
there
I was just
There was alcohol.
Gonna...
There was alcohol.
So then it was a 21-year-old bar. So it wasn't bottomless.
It probably wasn't bottomless.
If there was alcohol, it's not.
But it's not like I was like remembering the vaginas. Yeah. I was like,
gotta keep panties on when there's alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I should have stayed. It wouldn't have been that traumatic.
That we both
I think alcohol
know
usually makes panties come off, if I'm not mistaken. But.
Okay. Wow. So, Stephen, any questions over there?
Do you remember, or what was the name of the city that your friend and her mom moved to in
I
Michigan?
I don't know the city.
Okay.
Did you ever talk to her ever again?
I think maybe it was like we stayed in touch. Like we're probably Facebook friends, and I probably I've liked her wedding photos. I think we're like Instagram friends. Like that's
how
I know that she
now.
Settled down with someone who she's not related to, I hope.
Yeah. Wow. How about you, Andrew? Any questions?
No, but Lindsay, her vote is that the sister story is true and the uncle fucker is false, and she said tosses in chips. So she's all in on that.
On that.
Do I
like Lindsay
again, or do I?
Yeah.
What do you think, Jessica?
Oh, I'm leaning towards. I think that second story's not true because of the slip up. I was 17. I'm 18. That I don't think it's true. I think that was a slip up. That was a Freudian.
I did that about how old I am now. Like, how old are you?
I'm gonna go with the first one's the lie.
I know, but you know what gets me about thinking the second one is true is why bring up the black tooth, glowy black light thing?
Like, because it all happened in the same night.
But it never came
back until
I mentioned it.
Because I already wanted to leave. That's why I mentioned that. Because I was saying I was already ready to leave, and he was like, let's just stay for one more day. And I thought it was a funny detail of embarrassing moment.
Right.
I will say, is it more likely to run into your sister at a strip club, or is it more likely that you're having sex with your uncle and don't know it?
I'm going to go with the first one on that. It seems the second story seems more plausible.
True.
Yeah.
Wow, what do you think?
I think I'm with Lindsay. I say it's got to be the second story is true, 100%. Because one thing I noticed, and it was just for me telling my story, when I was telling the fake story, I left gaps in between it as I was telling it, and you can kind of tell. And I think there were some gaps in the first story. Like when towards the ending when you just said, and then she moved to Michigan, you just kind of left a bunch out and then and ended it there.
Yeah, but were you doing a lot of drinking and drugs and alcohol and boys age? And...
But when you told your first story about the school shooting, you didn't have a tremendous amount of detail, and you
That's
had
true.
Way more
That's
detail
true.
In
But
the
also,
lie.
I liked all the details that she had, and I am going on the details. I know you said that doesn't always work, but the tooth and everything just added up. There's nothing that contradicted each other, you know, itself on there. So I think that with the tooth and remembering the sister, one more song, I don't know. I think it's the second story I think is true.
I will say when she started that first story, I will say that she was looking off. Remember that trick? She was...
I don't know. It's so difficult. I'm going to say the first story is true and the second story is a lie because, you know, why would you tell that story about your sister now? Is your sister and your mother all made up or...
They get along now.
Yeah.
I
and you're better.
I thought you meant...
Yeah.
Meant,
she's
like,
not
made
stripping.
Up as in don't exist.
Yeah.
So. Oh. I've never had a mom.
I'm going to say the first story is true. The uncle fucker is true.
Man, that's such an out of. I'm going to go with the same. I'm going to say the uncle fucker's true.
So now it's us.
There you go.
All right. And so it's us two and Lindsay and then
okay.
you two.
So which all one right. is the truth? The
uncle fucker is true.
Oh! Yeah!
The sister, yeah! I did go to a strip club. I did have a black tooth, but and my sister was a stripper, but I never ran into her at a strip club. That was just my worst nightmare, what it would have been.
Right. Okay.
I feel like Lindsay's not going to watch us anymore. She's like, this is all bullshit. Nothing's real.
Wow. Whoa! Wow. We had
in
gotten one
pocket.
Correct it, just you and I in a long time. I know.
I'm glad I could unite you guys with some incest.
Wow. Thank you. Yes.
As
thank
one you. Should experience when we're united.
Yeah,
incest.
And you wore your. I just been wanting to touch you.
I know. It does look like it feels. Sure. It's very comfortable.
Wow, those are two amazing stories. I felt like we had an emotional experience.
Yeah,
right.
No, it's definitely a journey.
I'm going to say that your first story, and sadly that it was true, like that really kind of threw me for a loop.
I wasn't even going to tell it, but your story was so good. I was like, oh, I can't do my lame love story now. Like, I got to do something.
What, she's going to tell an uncle fucker story? Yeah. This is the time I was almost murdered.
I know, really
that was such a good story.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by, you guys, and telling these crazy stories. That's just nuts.
Thanks for having us.
I've never been so happy that somebody might have almost slept with their uncle.
Yeah.
But after your story, you're like, oh, I hope that's fucking true and not,
right.
You know.
Wow. Where can people find you?
You can find me on social media at Hello Pasternak or my website, heatherpasternak.com.
And do you have anything coming up you'd like to share?
I have a monthly show at the Virgil. We have our next one Tuesday night called Fat Cat Comedy. Come hang out.
Oh, nice. And who is on that show?
We've got Byron Bowers, Nick Kocher from SNL,
nice.
Chloe Fineman, Chris Bryant, a lot of really fun, talented people.
Right, Christopher Smith Bryant?
Yes.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, he told
us. We're both from North Carolina, the new
show. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
He told a Boy Scout story.
Yeah.
Oh, he did, yeah.
Saucy. I wish I'd listened to that one. I might have to go back.
Yeah, and how about you? What do you got shaken, and where can people follow
so
you?
So find me, StephenGarzaComedy.com, GARZA or at Stephen Garza Joke for Instagram, Twitter. And if I could plug something, this summer, most likely May, end of May, I'll be at the Comedy Palace in San Diego.
Nice.
Ooh, wow. And what about you, Andrew?
You can follow me everywhere at One Andrew Rose. Go to arosecomedy.com, click on the book link, buy my book, all that fun stuff. And we want to say thank you for listening. Means the world to us. Felicia, Jessica, and I really appreciate it. If you could please tell your friends and go to whatever podcast app you are listening to. We are on Spotify, we're on Stitcher, we're on Laughable, iTunes podcast app, anywhere you can find podcasts. Please give us a rate, a review, a subscribe. It would mean the world to us. And we have live shows that are going to be happening soon. So be on the lookout for that. And we just want to say thank you so much for listening.
And I'd also like to say thank you to Todd Walker. He engineered today's session here down at the Comedy Store. Sir. And also thank you very much to this Comedy Store for allowing us to come down here and tape this. We appreciate it. And I am Felicia Michaels, and you can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels.
I'd like to say thank you, period. You can follow me.
Okay. Jesus.
Another poem.
You can follow me at Jess Wellington 2 on everything. And you've been lied to.
Dang.
What?